So first of all, many of you have been asking how my parents are. Mom and Dad are good. I was there home for 10 days, and Dad looks pretty good. His heart is terrible, I know. We all know that, but for most part, he's looking, Mom is good. It's a good thing, but I'll tell you what, leaving home is just becoming so hard. It's every time I come back, it's like I leave half my heart there, and physically I can handle the emotional part of it. It takes me a good 10-15 days, and then of course the flight is crazy, 15 hours nonstop from Delhi to Chicago. That's hard. Came back at 3 o'clock, about 3 o'clock afternoon yesterday, slept, and then I haven't slept all night. I'm awake according to Indian time, so pardon my being foggy, and if the homily is messy, so be it. But good to be back. You saw the sun yesterday? I got that from India. Just for yesterday, and now it's back to this. It was 75 degrees when I was there. So awesome. But anyway, this is America, that's India. Flying into Chicago, early dawn, looking out of the window, and as we are landing, I see all these lights. Christmas lights, holiday lights. And for the first time, the contrast between how we prepare for Christmas and how India prepares for Christmas, it just stood out. And I found myself caught right in the middle of it. Here's an American priest spending part of his Advent back in India. In India, Advent is very somber, pretty much like the readings today. No lights up yet. Christmas decorations and Christmas tree won't go up till the 23rd evening, 24th morning. This is the time for abstinence. Pretty much, Advent in India is like Lent for us. 25 days of abstinence from meat and all kinds of entertainment. And this is the time for novenas and heightened religious devotion. In fact, I found myself caught right in the middle. The day before I left home, my parents and I, we decided to have our Christmas meal. And our next door neighbor, I call this lady my grandma, she got the whiff of all the good food, and she asked us if we were not keeping abstinence like everybody else does for Advent. And of course, I made up a story. I said, since I'm a priest in America, I'm not tied up by the local customs. And pretty much I blamed it on America. I said, you know, it's like Adam blaming Eve for eating the fruit. I'm sorry, folks, but you guys got the blame for me celebrating Christmas early in India. But if you heard the readings today, really, they are as somber as this preparation for Christmas in India. If you've already gotten into the Christmas mood, if you're already celebrating, at least in the way that the industry, the commercial industry around us wants us to do, then you will find that there is a big contradiction between what's happening outside and what the readings are saying to us. You know the readings? They are very, very harsh. They're calling for repentance as if the world is going to end. In fact, if we keep the right spirit of Advent, we are in one sense also preparing for the second coming of Christ. We look back and we look forward. So the readings really do two things for us, immaterial of what's going on outside in the commercial world. First, the readings introduce the Messiah to us. By the way, this reading that Isaiah speaks about, the very first reading of this mysterious figure coming who will arise was not talking about the Messiah in the first place. It's talking about a new king who would come and take over the land of Israel. Christians later look back at Isaiah's prophecy and they think of the Messiah who's coming. So today we read Isaiah's prophecy as referring to Christ. And what about this Christ? What about this Messiah? Listen to this very carefully because it's very closely connected to our lives. Isaiah says that the Messiah, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And it's as if the Spirit who rests upon the Messiah will determine the Messiah's character. What will the Messiah be like? The Spirit will give him wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, fear of the Lord. Because the Spirit is on the Messiah, he will not judge by appearance, but he will not judge by appearance, and he will not decide by hearsay. He shall judge the poor with justice and decide rightly for the afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt around his hips. This is the character of the Messiah. And Isaiah says, this Messiah is coming. In the gospel reading, you have John the Baptist also preparing the people for the coming of the Messiah. But the focus is not on the Messiah, but on the virtues and qualities the people should have to welcome the Messiah. And what does John the Baptist say that we should do to prepare for Christmas? Believe me, he was not talking about Christmas lights and decorations. His main demand was, this whole focus of today's reading, the main demand from the people is produce good fruit. Produce good fruit, because a tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So just three things for us to pray about so that our preparation for Christmas can be meaningful. My three practical implications for today. Folks, first of all, in the church's sacramental tradition, by which I mean the seven sacraments that we have and the rest of the sacramental tradition, today's readings connect us directly to the sacrament of confirmation. The virtues that I earlier read about, the virtues that will come upon the Messiah because of the Spirit of the Lord, are the same gifts that are given to us at the sacrament of confirmation. Most of you are confirmed. There are some here who are preparing for confirmation. And what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I wonder if you know these. Wisdom, knowledge, counsel, understanding, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. I said earlier that reading from Isaiah is intricately connected with our lives. And this is what I mean by it. You and I, at our confirmation, received the same Spirit that came and rested on the Messiah. And by the coming of the Holy Spirit at our confirmation, we received these very gifts that Jesus received. And what's the implication of that? So today, for example, Joseph Timothy will be baptized. He'll be confirmed later. The Holy Spirit will come and rest upon this baby. And the gifts that this baby gets now, this baby doesn't know it completely. In confirmation, this baby will celebrate it in a bigger way. But they're the same gifts that Jesus received. And I think the implication of that is, just as Jesus had a certain character because of the Holy Spirit, we are invited to develop a similar character because we have received the same gifts that Jesus received. So I think, just like Jesus, we should not decide by hearsay. We should judge the poor with justice and decide rightly for the afflicted. We should strike the ruthless with the rod of our mouth and with the breath of our lips. We should make justice a band around our waist and faithfulness a belt upon our hips. Folks, we're just 2 weeks away from Christmas. Just 2 weeks away. And I think we are being invited by Scripture today to in one sense, yes, prepare in the way that people around us prepare. Somehow, in Christmas time, we get pulled in to all this commercial glitter that goes on. And if that's how we prepare, so be it. But never to lose sight of what we are really being called to prepare for Christmas, which is filled with the Holy Spirit and aware of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in us, that we try to develop a character that is as close to Jesus as possible. I think that's what preparation for Christmas is all about. That's what preparation for the coming of Christ. So I suggest to you, if you get the chance, go on the internet or take the readings with you today. Please pray about this very first reading. It's very important for you and I to be a Christian in this world today and to prepare appropriately for the coming of Christ. Reflect especially on the first reading. Secondly, as we observe Advent, the question is, where does the rubber hit the road? Let's look at it this way. On the one side, the Messiah is coming. On the other side is our individual lives and perhaps our life also as a community. The question is, where do these two lives come together? The coming Messiah and our lives, where does it all come together? If we hear the call of John the Baptist, then I think he's saying, bear good fruit. That is where the rubber hits the road. Bear good fruit. One of the best ways to prepare for Christ is to let our lives be like a tree that bears good fruit. Think about it this way. If you could prepare for Christ by bearing three good fruits this Advent, what would they be? Three ways in which your life can be ready for Christ. Three areas of your life where you want to bear good fruit. What would they be? I can give you examples. Let's take it from Isaiah's prophecy about the Messiah. He will not judge by appearance. You know how many times I look at somebody and I've already judged them? How many times I've looked at somebody and I've already have a prejudice in my mind? How about that's one fruit that we produce in our lives? Maybe that's one place we bring about a change. Isaiah says about the Messiah, he will not decide by hearsay. I could work just on that my whole life. Not to decide by hearsay. Or Isaiah says about the Messiah, he shall judge the poor with justice and decide rightly for the afflicted. Justice shall be the band around his waist and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. As I look back at my life, I know that I can work harder for the sake of the poor, that I can be more just, that I can be more faithful, I can be more righteous. The best way to prepare for Christmas really is to let our lives bear good fruit. And so here's one suggestion that I can make. When you come for Christmas Mass, don't come empty-handed. Bring yourself, but bring the fruits that you have produced this Advent season. And I'm suggesting three fruits that you can offer to Christ at Christmas time. Isaiah makes a suggestion, but I'm sure each one of us has our own place to prepare. And thirdly, if you listen to the first reading today, the changes that happen is not in an only in individual people's lives, but Isaiah tells us because Messiah is coming, there's going to be cosmic changes. Changes not just in people, but the entire world. The cosmos is going to be different. Examples he gives, the lamb shall dwell with the lion. We haven't seen that ever, have we? But because the Messiah comes, there's going to be changes in nature itself. A child will play with a snake, and the snake will not harm the child. We have never seen that. The coming of the Messiah brings about cosmic changes. How do we understand that for today? Many ways. First of all, folks, if every Christian changed their lives because Christ was coming, don't you think the world would be a better place just by that action? Look at the life of Jesus. That one life changed the meaning of human living. Just Jesus, the amount of good that he did, the good fruit that he produced, the changes that came about because of that one life. Imagine if Christians all over the world said, we are going to make a difference in the world. Just us. If we took Advent and the coming of Christ seriously, there would be changes in our family. There would be changes in the workplace. The world will become a better place. And the second part of that is, we live in a time when there are catastrophic climate changes. We know that the way we are living is changing the world. Something's got to give. We've got to take care of the environment. We've got to take care of our world. If nothing else, the catastrophic storms that have happened in the Philippines, in our country, the rest of the world, these things are the effect of the way that we are living our lives. And if we change as human beings, there's got to be cosmic changes. Jesus wants us to take care of the environment and the world that we have. This is God's gift to us. We must take responsibility for how we live. So the Messiah, Jesus, comes into the world. We are being asked to sincerely prepare ourselves and our world for this great event. Let us notice perhaps all the preparation that the rest of the world is doing. And maybe we look at it and we appreciate it and we love it. But more than anything else, may the real preparation be the conversion that happens in our hearts. May we produce good fruit. May we bring about changes for us, for our family, and for the world. Because the tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's the message, I think, of today's readings. People of God said,